Okay, we continue Mirtz Hashem with some of the Divrei Torah from the Great Gedolim of America. Maybe two more ideas from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and then we'll move on in Mirtz Hashem to some of the other Gedolim and Mefarshim. Rav Yaakov asks a question that many Mefarshim wonder when it comes to the end of Parshas Toldos, and that is regarding why Yitzhak Avinu would choose to bless Esav lichatchila. So Rav Yaakov begins, this is on page Kuf Nun Aleph in the Emes Yaakov. Rav Yaakov begins by quoting the Malbim, who says that that Yitzhak Avinu's plan was that Yaakov and Esav would be a sort of Yisachar and Zvulun relationship. V'hainu she Yaakov yakdish es chayv l'avodas Hashem ve'esav yamtzi lo mizono. Very, very fundamental idea that many say, and he brings it here from the Malbim, that basically Esav would be the source of Gashmias, Esav would be the financial backing to our people, to the Am Hashem, to the Am Anivchar, and Yaakov Avinu would be the Kedusha, would be the Torah, would be the Ruchnius, and obviously Imen Kemach in Torah, Imen Torah, Imen Kemach. There's a reciprocal relationship between the financial backing of Klal Yisrael and the spiritual growth and the spiritual accomplishments of Klal Yisrael, and Yaakov and Esav would be these two sides of the coin that would complement and would complement one another and would serve as a partnership to allow Klal Yisrael to have longevity and success and to be secure for generations. That's the opinion of the Malbim, it's the opinion of many other Mefarshim as well. But Rav Yaakov wants to add another dimension or a different explanation to Yitzchak Avinu's Kavana in giving Esav the Bracha. And he says that the following, Dehine, Sora Bracha Shinis Baruch Hu Avos Ba'olam Hazeh B'mein Olam Haba Hu Mishum Shechayeyim Ayu Chayei Kiddush Hashem V'Hamlach HaSabor Gam Ba'aretz. She says that the uniqueness of the Avos, the uniqueness of what Avram and what Yitzchak had started and what Klal Yisrael represent is the not only living with the awareness of Kadosh Baruch Hu as the Kadosh and the Borei and the spiritual epicenter of reality, but additionally, living life in this world, chayayim u'chayi kedusha, that the ability to live life in this world as a life of kedusha, v'hamlachas habori gam ba'aretz, and to live with the Kadosh Baruch Hu down here in this very world. And he quotes the Rashi that we spoke about last week in Parshas Chayisara that Rav Moshe Feinstein discussed beautifully that we spoke about. And he quotes that Rashi that the chiddush of Avraham Avinu was that up till his days, Avram was Hashem was Kaviyachal just the Elokei Hashemayim. But Avram Avinu went ahead and made him the Elokei Haaretz, and this was the great chiddush of Avram, and this was really this would be the hallmark of Klal Yisrael, and has been, and still is the hallmark of Klal Yisrael in our religious perspective, and in our fundamental way of life, namely that we live every moment of life with God in our consciousness, with thinking about the Ratzon Hashem, bringing Kadosh Baruch Hu into this world, making a dira betachtonim, as Chazal say, to live our life down here with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ulefikach, says Rabbi Yaakov, Yitzchak Avinu b'roso ki Yaakov ishtam yoshev ha'olim chashav kino kulu l'Hashem v'lo bazeh b'achar Hashem. Says Rabbi Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu was ishtam yoshev ha'olim. His life was totally spiritual. He was totally disengaged and disconnected from things of this world, from business, from finances, from society, from culture, etc., etc. He was totally kadosh v'torah, totally kadosh l'Hashem. He has incredible tzidkus and incredible holiness and incredible purity and incredible righteousness, but disengaged from this world. And Yitzchak reasoned, ki lo l'malachim nitna Torah. The Torah was not given to angels. V'chein, Eretz Yisrael shenivchar l'medina shal yidei avodasa yikaymu chalakim chashubim shebetorah kechai am shekulo oved Hashem. V'lo bazeh chelek Yaakov she'ein lo hachshar liyos osek b'yishubo shel olam. Eretz Yisrael, which is the essence of the bracha, is a land which requires work, which requires toil, which requires agriculture, which requires planting and harvesting and winnowing and all the, you know, all the sidur de pas and all the different hard agricultural labors of the land, and building an economy, building a kingdom, an army, etc. Yaakovinu was not cut out. He was not. He wasn't made for that. He was totally above and beyond things of this world. And he quotes Chazal that lo nidna Torah l'malachim. The Torah is not given to angels. Yaakov's life, his lifestyle, was a lifestyle of angelic proportions, above and beyond spirituality, holiness, but disconnected and disengaged from this world. Ulefikach. Therefore, Yitzchak said the bracha has to go to Esav, because Esav is the one who's engaged. Esav is the one who's connected to this world. He's the hunter. He's the one who's connected to this world and will be able to bring, to be a conduit of the message of Avraham Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is too engaged. Perhaps remembering Rav Moshe Feinstein's paradigm, maybe Yaakov is in his eyes too similar to a shame ben Noach, who had a yeshiva and who was a gadol hador, but his Torah was a totally spiritually lofty and disconnected Torah. He didn't go ahead and bring the Torah to the masses like Avram Avinu did. So too, Lechora, that was also Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was disconnected and totally connected, totally zoned in on Kadosh Baruch Hu and godliness and holiness and meaning and depth and truth. But the essence of Torah is meant to be a Torah down here to make a Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the words of Rashi, to make him an Elokei Haaretz, to make God the God of this world. And Yitzhak reasoned that Yaakov is not cut out for that, and Esav is more cut out to be the Mamshech of this Mesorah. However, right, Ulfikach Bachar Levarchas Esav Elim Shalot Tal Shemayim Mishmanei Haaretz, and he decided Esav has to be the one to get the bracha. Kimisham Teitzei Torah Va'ora La'olam Kulo Uliyosva, because that's the way that the Torah will be actualized. That's the way that the mission statement of Avraham Avinu and the purpose of our legacy and our tradition will come to its fruition, not through those who disconnect and disengage from the world and from society. Aval Mikavan, Rav Yaakov concludes, Mikavan Shezacha Birchas Mishmanei Haaretz. However, once Yaakov successfully received the brachas of Gashmias, the brachas of Mishmanei Haaretz, then at the end of the parsha, Natan Lo Kvar Birchas Avram Ki Kvar Hamoshel Baaretz. And the footnote just explains, Sherot Salomar, the Mikavan Shelamasa Zacha Yaakov Birchas Mishmanei Haaretz. That's why he went ahead and gave him at the very end of the parsha the brach of Avram Avinu, and to be the mamshech of the Mesorah that he would become. But this is a very, very another profound idea from Rav Yaakov, and so appropriate and so such a deep insight into what Torah is, and especially in light of living in Western society, living in America, that what is the Torah? Who's the Torah for? Who's the Mesorah? Who are the ones who hold the Mesorah? Is it those who are disengaged? Is it those who are disconnected from the yeshiva, disconnected from society, disconnected from the developments of mankind and politics and culture and community, those who are totally living in an ivory tower of, don't get me wrong, an ivory tower of Kedusha and Torah and Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem and incredible spirituality and loftiness? Or is it those who are engaged, those who bring the Torah to the world, those who go out and teach the Torah, those who actualize the Torah, living, you know, choshen mishpat, living the laws of interpersonal, you know, the how halacha governs interpersonal relationships and business and all of the ways that we can bring Kadosh Baruch Hu down into this world? And that was what Yitzchak Avinu wanted, and that's why he chose Esav. Yaakov Avinu was able to get it because he also took this world. And once he took this world, once he took Mishmanei Haaretz, so then he now is also shayach to this legacy. He's also shayach to having the framework, having the connection to this world, to be able to bring the Torah of Avraham Avinu into the world, to the people, into reality, into Olam Hazeh, into the everyday life, all the dimensions of everyday life, as we know Torah does. And certainly, again, a very, very critical idea for us, for the entire world, for all the Doros, but certainly for us, recognizing that engaging in the world is not only not a stira, it's not a contradiction to the being a torchbearer of the Mesorah. It's not only not a contradiction to being a from Jew, being a perfect prototype of an Eved Hashem, but it's punk that. It's specifically that is where one can actualize the greatest expression of being a Mamshech of the Mesorah, when one is engaged with people, engaged in the world, engaged in things of Olam Hazeh, and he imbues all of those relationships and all those activities and all those behaviors with godliness and with holiness and with Torah values and with a halachic perspective. That is the tachlis of Torah. A fantastic comment from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. And one more idea from Rav Yaakov before we move on. Rav Yaakov asks the big question again that many of the mefarshim ask, and that is, why did it have to happen like this? Why did the brachas have to be stolen through deceit, through lying? That Rivka Imenu not only commanded Yaakov to lie and deceive his father Yitzchak on her own intuition, but it was prophetically inspired. It was Lefia Dibor. V'chiloita efsherit acheret lefnei ha'makom legalgel es habrachos leYaakov bli sheyitzarech leshaker. If we understand, like Rashi is telling, Chazal are telling us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is the one who inspired Yaakov to deceive his father Yitzchak, we're talking about the Melech Malchei HaMlachim, the one who's Mashgiach al HaKol. He can't think of another way to bring about this, that Yaakov would get the bracha. He can't engineer the family dynamics such that Yaakov would be able to get the bracha in a different way. It had to happen through deceit, not only from Rivka's eyes, but even from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Yaakov represents Emes. Yaakov is the pillar of truth. His whole identity, his whole essence is symbolized by being the pillar of truth. And in his life, we see examples where he represents truth in the deepest way, that he wasn't willing to deceive Shechem for the good of his daughter Dina, and other instances as well. Why did we see Yaakov totally going against his own nature and having to utilize, employ methods of lying and deceit? The only way that Hashem could make this come about is by blinding the eyes of Yitzchak, both figuratively and literally, that he wouldn't know that it's Yaakov, and Yaakov being able to successfully deceive him. So what's pshat? Says Rabbi Yaakov, Amnam Nira. We know that Avram was celebrated for his 10 tests that he was given that brought him to his highest, to this incredible level of faith and dedication to God. Says Rabbi Yaakov that Yaakov Avinu also had to go through a tremendous nisayon, a tremendous test of faith, in order to reveal how connected he was, and how lofty his level was in terms of his faith and dedication to Hashem. What are tests of faith? What are the tests of faith that Avram went through? Says Rabbi Yaakov, and this is spoken about by many by Avram's Nisyonos, especially by the Akedah, Avram's Nisyonos were going against his nature. Avram is defined by chesed, by kindness, by love, compassion, caring. And that's how he served the Kadosh Baruch Hu, through those stellar principles and attributes. And that's how he revealed his own personal greatness, and that's how he became a conduit of godliness to the world. And that's how he went ahead and he inspired thousands and tens of thousands to come close and to be introduced to God through his chesed that he did with all of the brios, with all of the members of society. Vilachin. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted to test him, to see how real is your dedication, how true is your faith, how deep-seated within you is your connection to Hashem, the deepest and most penetrating and most powerful way of testing Avram's faith, to see if he really is a Yirei Elokim, if he really is a God-fearing individual, would be to test him as such, to see if he'd be willing to go against his own nature, to go against his chesed, to go against his kindness, to go against his love and his compassion for the sake of God. And obviously this is the most defined by Akedas Yitzchak, but even earlier, his first test of Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, he had to leave his household, he had to leave his elderly father, he had to leave his whole family. And then in the story of Yishmael, he was forced to kick Yishmael out of his home, to kick his own son out of his home. And then obviously, Ha'ol El Kulan is the Nisayon of the Akedah, the test of the Akedah of Akedas Yitzchak. That in the Akedas Yitzchak, he was forced and he was demanded to go sacrifice his one only beloved son, to give him up as an offering to Hashem, which is totally fundamentally in opposition to his essence of love and caring and compassion. But Avram was prepared and ready to take on these tests because his essence, more than just his midah, more than his attribute of chesed, of kindness, his real essence was dedication to Hashem, which was underlying the chesed. And the chesed was just a manifestation, the strongest manifestation of that. And this is the highest type of test of a person. Klomar, lasot peula hanogedet min hakatzel hakatzel tivius haadam. Because our nature is not our essence. Our nature is something external to our essence. Our essence is our godliness and our connection to Hashem. And then we have our nature, we have our attributes, we have those things, the way that we act, the things that we are accustomed to do and think and feel. But deeper than all of that, especially by Kedoshim and Tzadikim, is the simple connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when one is willing to go beyond their nature for Hashem, so that's how their faith and their connection to Hashem is tested. And Avraham Avinu, we know, passed all of his tests. Says Rabbi Yaakov, v'cheinu adavar gam etzel Yaakov. And Yaakov Avinu, in his breakout into godless, his breakout onto the stage of history to begin his journey of becoming even the Bechir Sheba Avos, the most chosen, the choicest of the Avos, through his own life, begins also with a tremendous test. What was that? Kol Tivo Mitziuto Saldu Mehasheker. His entire essence was allergic to deceit and to lie. Hazir v'tatua hayu etzel begeder avodah zara v'gil nefesh. Deceit, lying, being lezayef, to change the truth, for him were foreign, were like avodah zara, were disgusting to him. V'lachein, therefore, k'sheratza Hashem l'nasod midat dveikus Yaakov b'Hashem, when Hashem wanted to test him, how did he go about doing it? He went to see, are you willing to sacrifice your attribute of emes for the sake of the Ratzon Hashem? Yaakov's life was totally unwavering for truth. Nothing would get in the way of truth. But now, he'd be asked to what? To choose God over truth. And if you'd be willing to do such a thing, as yuvrar v'yuvchan ki kol masav l'shem shemayim, then it's revealed that his number one priority and his true essence, his true foundation of his character, is God and his will. Umavuar mizeh she'inyan nitilas habrachos me'isav ayam ma'aseh ha'akeda shel Yaakov, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, such profound, striking words, that this moment where Yaakov had to deceive his father and to go behind his brother's back, that was his akedah. That was his moment of, that was his moment where his faith was tested. Kol echad me'avos hayat tzarech lavor masa akedah nisayu negin mahuto v'tivo kedei lizakot b'schar ha'nitzchi shel avi ha'am ha'nivchar. And then Rabbi Yaakov goes on and discusses what was the challenge for Yitzchak Avinu, and he discusses a very, very deep and profound Gemara in Shabbos where Yitzchak Avinu stands up for Klal Yisrael, but we'll leave that for another time. But just this idea of Yaakov's Akedah, Yaakov's test of faith, Yaakov's ultimate trial was in this moment where he had to go against his nature in order to reveal and to prove his dedication and faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to go against his essential nature, his beautiful nature of Emes, L'shem Shamayim, that was his ultimate test. And something that we can think about from this idea of Rav Yaakov is that how often are we tested? We have our values, and hopefully, Mirtz Hashem, we try to develop Torah values. We try to live a life where Torah is where Torah and the will of God and the values the Torah teaches us of kindness and truth and authenticity and all the things that we really, really try to work on and try to develop in our own lives. But sometimes Hashem asks of us, and Hashem may even demand of us, and this is something very, very personal and something that we need to think about on a personal level. Hashem sometimes demands of us to go against our own nature, our own good nature, our own good values, beautiful values, because there's a higher calling, there's a deeper, truer calling. And again, this is a very personal thing that people can, and I think many people do experience in their own lifetime, that I need to think about what Hashem wants from me, deeper than be a good person, or be an honest person, or be a just person, or be a kind person, or be a loving person, be a caring person. Those are all profound levels that a human being and a Jew and Eved Hashem can achieve. But the highest level is be a person who lives with what does Hashem want from me? What is Hashem asking of us? And sometimes that's to go against our nature, to go against even our good nature, our beautiful nature. And that's what Avram Avinu was asked of Avram Avinu, and that's what over here is asked of Yaakov Avinu in his own personal Akedah moment. And something very, very real that people experience in every generation that we can think about, and certainly the challenges that we go through in life nowadays. Again, lav dafka in America, but certainly something very, very real in American society that a Torah Jew can experience, being forced to ask himself, what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want for me in this situation? Let's try with the last few minutes to learn one idea from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zuchus Yagin Aleinu, Zecher Tzadok Livracha. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, in Parshas Toldos over here, this is from the Sefer Likutei Sichos, from Ra'ayonot Parshat HaShavua, Likutei Sichos Chelek Aleph, Parshas Toldos, page 41, beginning at the bottom of page 41. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe has over here an idea where he's discussing Yitzchak Avinu. And Yitzchak Avinu, from the Akedah, Chazal say, Parcha Deshmaso B'Shas HaAkedah, that at the moment of the Akedah, his soul went up, and it's a big discussion exactly what happened. Maybe, did he die, or just was it temporary? That's the Lashon of Chazal, Parcha Deshmaso B'Shas HaAkedah. And he was given a neshama, he was given a new neshama. There's an Orach Chaim in many places that he got a neshama that would allow him to have children at that moment. Very, very insightful mahalich in Orach Chaim many places. But Lubavitcher Rebbe says that he got a neshama from Alma Da'asi, from Olam Haba, from the Akedah. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe goes on here and discusses, makes an interesting issue. And let's learn in the last few minutes from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He says like this. From here we see the greatness of Yitzchak Avinu, that he got a neshama from a transcendent reality, from Olam Haba. Says the Rebbe, when Pasuk Vayigdulu Hanaarim, when Yaakov Avinu and Esav grow up, so the Pasuk says, the Chazal say, Vayigdulu Hanaarim, Chazal say, Shabashashu b'nei Yud Gimel Shana Zepirus Lebatim Joshua Zepirus Le Avodas Elilim. When they were 13, at their bar mitzvah age, Yaakov became, the Yaakov Avinu went to Beis Medrash, began a life dedicated to Hashem, and Esav went off to Avodas Elilim, off to idol worship and his culture and his identity that he developed. Umakshim. The question is asked by the Mefarshim. Ne'emar shal Avram haya l'chir me'av shmonim shana el shenigur menu chamish shanim kedei shelo yira as ben beno Esav yotzel tav Yisrael l'fi anal midbar shebisha shepir she'esav l'avod ha'selidim haya od Avram chayim. Chazal say that Hashem shortened Avram's life by 5 years. He was supposed to live to 180, but he only lived to 175 in order so that he wouldn't have to see the development of his grandson Esav. It would have been it would have led him to too much despair. It would have been too difficult for him to see what happened with his grandson Esav. But the Rebbe asks, and he brings the following question. We know Avram was 100 years old when Yitzchak was born. And Yitzchak was 60 years old when his sons were born. So what does that mean? That means that Avram Avinu was 160 years old when Yaakov and Esav were born. Which means that when they were 13, which would be 13 years later, Avram Avinu was only 173 years old. If that's true, Avram Avinu saw Yaakov and Esau for 2 years of their life. And this chazal, that Avram didn't see, that Avram's life was shortened in order to not see the development of Yaakov and Esau, it's problematic, because based on this simple calculation, Avram did see 2 years of Esav's life from 13 and 14. So the Rebbe brings two answers to this question. He quotes first from the Das Akenu Bali Tosfos, who say that from ages 13 and 14, when Avram Vinu was still alive, she chata b'matmonios b'chashoy, that Esav, yes, had already began his development as the Ovid Elilim, and beginning all of his getting into bad habits and bad traits and bad character and beginning a life of really going, you know, away from the tradition and values of his father and his grandfather. However, it was done quietly. It was done behind closed doors. It was done in a way that nobody could see it. So therefore, Avram didn't see it, and it wouldn't affect him. It wouldn't lead him to that despair. However, the Rebbe says that that answer is a little bit insufficient. Why? Because if he was able to sin for 2 years in quiet and silence behind closed doors, so why not let him? Why wouldn't Hashem arrange it that he would just sin in quiet for 5 years and let Avram make it to 180, the life that he was meant to live? So the Rebbe says that answer is a little bit insufficient and leaves what to be desired. And then the Rebbe quotes another answer from the Sefer Asara Ma'amaros. I believe that's the Ramah Mipano, and he quotes from a Rishon, the Riva, who give a different answer. And the Rebbe says, "B'meshech hashanim," from those Rishonim who say, "B'meshech hashanim sheimtin Yitzchak me'az ha'keda ad sheita Rivka baz gimel shanim v'yom echad hayasharui b'gan Eden v'itachin lasbir zot b'kach shegan Eden hu lemala mehazman shel olam." That We said earlier that at the moment of Akiras Yitzchak, a soul from the world above, from Olam Haba, went into him, and he achieved this transcendent level, or he tasted this transcendent level, as a result of going to be this Ola Tamima, as a result of allowing his father to sacrifice him. Says that Sar Ma'amaros, the Rebbe quotes, that what? That he stayed in that place. He stayed in this lofty, transcendent reality of Olam Haba. Ulefi zeh, harei b'shah shenoldu Yaakov ve'esav, kvar avru lamala mishishim v'shtayim shanim, me'az hulatato shel Yitzchak ulamasa ya'az rak ben shishim shana. Ki b'shanim shaya b'gan Eden, haya lamala me'azman, ואברהם היה אז בן 162 שנה. כשנכנס יצחק לדרגת עולם וזמן, לא נמנו שנתיים אלו בחשבון שנותיו, הוא היה אז בן 60 בלבד. Says the Rebbe that the years of Yitzchak Avinu's life, during this time, from Akedas Yitzchak to the birth of Rivka, when his soulmate came into the world, and then he came back down into the world, Yitzchak Avinu was in a profound, lofty, spiritual, transcendent state, an Olam Haba state, and time stopped for him. Time stopped. The years of his life, the calculation of the years of his life, literally paused. And while time was going on for Avram lived another year and another year, and Rivka Imenu lived another year and another year, and time went on for the rest of reality. For Yaakov Avinu, time stopped. And therefore, the original calculation of when Yaakov was 60, Avram was 160, that's an incorrect calculation. Really, when Yaakov was 60, Avram was 162. And if Avram was 162, then when he was 175, his bar mitzvah bachar grandsons were also 13, and their his death would coincide with their bar mitzvah, and he would miss out on Esav's adolescence and watching how his life would unfortunately unravel. And the Rebbe says, based on this yisod from the Asar Ma'amaros, that Yitzchak Avinu entered into this transcendent reality, this Gan Eden, where time stopped, where reality around him was moving forward, but reality in his own world had simply been paused because he was in this heightened, transcendent spiritual state. The Rebbe says, Yesh Adam mit'ale ledarga elyona min hazman, aval b'hichanso acharkach ledargat hazman nikra hadavar. He says, sometimes people can go into a state of transcendence, a state of spirituality, right, a state of, you know, the spiritual trance, a state of real dveikus. But when they come back down, so it's clear that time has gone on. Domel kach mesuper, he brings the ma'aser from the Baal Shem Tov. Since it's already late, we'll skip the ma'aser of the Baal Shem Tov. But he says that this metzius of Yitzchak Avinu is even higher than this ma'aser of the Baal Shem Tov. That what happened by Yitzchak, is he went up that's the same metzius. It's the same thing. That this matzav of Yitzchak, that he went up into Gan Eden, and it left a reshima in his neshama, it left a mark that he had been there. And that's why, by the way, he says pshat in this week's parsha, when Yaakov Inu comes in and he says, Re'erech b'ni k'reach ha'sada she'berch lo Hashem, and Rashi says over there that he had the smell of Gan Eden. So Chazal wants, so the Rebbe wonders, other Mefarshim also wonder, how did Yitzchak Avinu know the smell of Gan Eden? So now it's beautiful, because he had been there. He had been to Gan Eden before. He had experienced Gan Eden, and he knew that smell that was on the clothes of Yaakov Avinu when he came in to take the brachas. Be it as it may, says the Rebbe, what's the yisod over here? The yisod over here was that Yitzchak transcended this reality in which time stopped, in which the rest of the world was moving forward, but for him, he was so zoned in, he was in this transcendent reality above, a world of connected, a world of ruchnias, a world being so high that totally He became totally unaware, totally disconnected from the world, similar to what we were talking about by Yaakov Vinu before. Maybe this is kind of the other side of the coin. What the Rebbe says over here is that this is a hora for us. This is a message. This is an idea and a teaching and the inspiration that we have to take, that we have the ability of sometimes being able to transcend the world around us. I think especially when it comes to Shabbos Kodesh, but also in Tefillah, in Torah, in moments of real mental and emotional clarity, thinking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, meditation for those that are comfortable with the world of meditation. But whatever it is, and especially in the fast-paced world around us where so many things are happening so fast and there's so much stress and pressure and so many things going on and people moving so quickly, we have the ability to connect our neshama to that world above where the rest of the world can be moving so fast, but I'm zoned in. I'm connected above. And yes, during those moments, I'm disconnected from this world. I'm disconnected from, disengaged from society and business and culture, etc. Even though we said before it's so critical, but obviously we have to have two sides as an Eved Hashem. But the Rebbe says that this idea that Yitzchak Avinu achieved this level is a hora for us, that we have the ability to have moments of transcendence, moments of going above and beyond, where the rest of the world can keep moving, but I am so zoned in right here where I am, whether it's when I'm in my tefillah, whether it's when I'm in the Beis Medrash, whether it's when I'm in any mitzvah, in any avoda, in any moment of elokos, any moment of ruchnius, any moment of spirituality. Shabbos certainly, Yantif, now it's Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a fantastic time to connect to this elevated reality that we have the ability to connect to through our neshama. And certainly that's something that we can strive for and can tap into at the right time in the right place, in order to really connect to ourselves, connect to Hashem in the deepest, truest way. And that certainly can be something that can fuel us up to be godly as we then go out into the world afterwards. Emir Tashem will continue over the coming days ahead.